It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where I don't even know how many years ago I started. I think at least eight, maybe now. And I know there's way over 425 shows. At last count, that's where I left off. So I don't know how many are even there now. But if you go to synergyconnectionradio.com, all of the shows are archived there under show notes. So look on that part of the landing page where, where it says show notes. And you'll be able to scroll through. I have a new person, and she'll be on the show with me probably at least five more times, I'm guessing. This is her first show, and it's Bernadette Thompson, and we're going to be talking about ancestral whispers. And I'm sure that people are going, what in the heck are ancestral whispers? And so you're going to find out in just a few minutes. Also on the website, you'll see a link to Boomers Forever Young. I have used their products for over 8 years. I know without a doubt that it's what brought me through COVID. I did not take the vaccine. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I know my body and I knew I shouldn't take it. And I never did come down with COVID. So I think it's so important to know how to stay healthy. And these products actually do that. There are two tests that I tell everybody that they absolutely need. You have to ask for them. Your doctors don't order them anymore. I have my own theory about why they don't. But one of them is a vitamin D as in David. 3, that is your immune system. And you need to know that number, and it should be 70 or higher. If it's below 70, you need to be taking vitamin D3. And I don't care where you live, how sunny it is. People in Florida, where I used to live, are very deficit with vitamin D3 because we wear sunscreen. And you see a dermatologist twice a year that warns you about being in the sunshine, always covering up. It's sunshine on bare skin, and we don't do that anymore. So you're in buildings, you're in cars, you're in offices that you're not near a window probably. So you absolutely need vitamin D3. The other test is a C-reactive protein. So C as in cat, reactive, and protein, CRP. That's the level of inflammation in your body. That number needs to be below 0.5. Mine at last check was below 0.1. And my D3 is sitting right around 72, 73. I had it at one point at 103, and that's a little too high. So I kind of pulled it back down, you know, a shade. But now that I'm living in Wisconsin, I'm also taking the 10,000 international units as I'm going to be moving into gray winter days. And there's less sunshine, and I definitely will be in a building. Just know those two numbers, everyone. And inflammation can be reduced a number of ways. The Boomer products do a good job of that, but taking turmeric will help reduce inflammation in your body. Also, using their barley. It's either gladiator barley for building muscles. And guess what? After age 60, your muscle mass is already 10% less than it was at age 50. You're losing 1% a year. So it's the decline in muscle that creates issues for people, because then without muscle, you fall more easily. And when you start falling, you start breaking bones. So look at the inflammation in your body and find ways to get it reduced. Anybody who has a chronic illness for sure has high inflammation. People that are pre-diabetic or diabetic, absolutely, their inflammation is around 5 or 6. So check out their products. If you decide that you want to order something, just use my first name, Lucy, in the discount code box, and they will give you automatically 15% off. So please, you know, utilize that, take advantage of it. They've let me do that since I started my podcast, and they help support this show because it's all about wellness. All right, so we're going to move over to Ancestral Whispers, and welcome to the show, Bernadette.
Thank you, Lucy. I'm so happy to be here. And thank you for all that information you just gave me. I'm sitting here like writing down what I need to remember. So I'm very happy to be here and to share what Ancestral Whispers means for your audience.
Yeah,
And
it's just an interesting concept because I think, well, I know for a fact that my guides and certain angels that are with me, I know they whisper to me all the time. And if I pay attention, which in a busy world, a lot of times we don't, you know, it's like background noise. But if we really are quiet and we listen, the direction is always intuitively the right thing to do. And so I'm guessing ancestors also whisper to us.
Ancestors do whisper to us, and they are ancestors are always around us. And I, as somebody who years and years ago was interested in understanding where I came from and my genealogy, that's where I began. And so I really began as somebody who, when you think of a genealogist, was just putting names on a tree. Let's see how far we can trace our family back.
Exactly.
But as the more I did, and I did it for other people, it became my sidekick. It was just, I was really good at discovering in the records and in the discoveries that are there for us. And so that's kind of where I began. But I also was interested in the stories. What were the stories that we often don't look at those where, we've been taught to just put it out. Let's see how far out we can go. And, I'm all Irish. And so I began to want to know where in Ireland I was from and where, all of these kinds of questions. And one record after another would lead me into these different places. And I began to realize that I was from famine families and that I didn't, I call myself an Irish mutt because my Irish family all fled Ireland because of the famine. And some went to England and some went to Scotland and some came to the US, to New York City. And that's where the center was. That's where my family became my family, where I knew who everybody was. And so, it was just this interest in knowing them. And I didn't know a lot about either side of my family. And along with this, so there's a few parts to this story that kind of all go together, and it makes sense if I kind of fill everybody in on all the parts. So my background in as a professional is a psychology background, and I worked with students in middle school who were on an alternative team, and I've been trained in trauma and grief and recognizing what trauma reactions are, and I went on also to be an elder care manager and to help use because I worked on a team with mental health professionals when I worked in the middle school for and I was there for years and years. And it was the same when you do elder care management. There's a team trying to help people move to the next, what are their next steps? What is their what things are going to look like? So all of that, I had this interest, ancestry interest in the background, always. And it was something that was very calming. Some people knit or crochet, and I would look. I researched ancestors, and that's kind of what. So there, and they and I knew, I had little bits of information, but it was when my husband got very sick, and he had alcoholism, and he eventually succumbed to his addiction. It was a time that was very chaotic, and anybody who has that in their family knows that there's a lot of uncertainty and not knowing what's going to happen in each day. So during this time, I was trying to find ways to comfort myself and to settle myself. And just to, because each day brought something new. And so there was that. So I began to look even deeper into the ancestry. And as I said, I was doing this for other people as well. But I started looking into the stories of my ancestors. And what I began to find was this amazing, I had my dad. I always knew that my dad had lost both of his parents at a young age. He was 5 and 6 years old, and they each had passed away from tuberculosis.
Oh,
And
wow.
he was raised by his aunts. His five His mother was one of five sisters, and so he was raised by two of his aunts and their uncles and my uncles. And that's all of the story that I knew. So I knew they passed away, but life went on and we had a happy life. And there are eight of us. We are raised with eight children. So as I go back, went back and started looking, I started discovering this incredible story about the five girls. And I found them in New York City in 1900 with their mom. And there was no dad. And the girls ranged in age from a year old to 10. So
Oh.
they were, and the mom was left and she was alone. So I'm trying to look back and go further and further and see what I can find. And they, my great grandparents were the immigrants. They were the ones that had come over. And so I started to look for my grandfather's death certificate or anything that would say, where did he pass? And I was able to discover it, and he had passed away. When I looked at that census, I had found them in the 1900 census. He'd only passed away a few months ago from the flu or influ, whatever it was at the time that was going on. Sometimes they called it the grip, and sometimes, there are all these, and he had passed away, leaving my great grandmother with these five little girls and no way to raise them. And I quickly found out, as this started to emerge, I quickly found out that they had all been in orphanages, that they had been put almost immediately into Catholic orphanages. And my grandmother and her younger sister were in an orphanage until they grew out of it. It was like in their early teens before they were released and allowed to go live with their sisters. So, yeah. So I began to realize that there was this tremendous story that was part of our family. And it made so much sense in understanding the ideas of scarcity that have been passed down, and the ideas of pushing things away, like we don't talk about it, we it's fine, it's done, it's all done, so
Just get on with things.
let's just get on with it. So this is where the deep interest in the ancestry, and this went on. I was able to research more. There's more in stories that I can share, but really researching all, the other limbs of the tree, and just understanding how much is passed down to us. And so that was fascinating, and it was just interesting to understand that none of this had been shared with me. None of this, no, nobody knew. And this is just, these are my grandparents. This is my grandmother.
Let me ask you a question. So I'm just asking maybe for clarification for everybody. So scarcity, would the whisper in today's, like somebody who's alive today, but that thread of scarcity. So would the whisper kind of be careful, don't spend too much, live within your budget, but just the little pieces of wisdom, more or less, that come through our subconscious mind.
Yes, they are. And to take it a little bit further, they're stronger than just something that comes through our subconscious mind. We build when we understand, and this is where the story is going, is when you begin to know more about your ancestors, you begin to feel their energy around you and start to make sense about what who you are as a person, and knowing that their lives have affected our life, and that they are here, they continue to be with us.
You
We
know,
are.
the other thing that I guess I'm gonna kind of bring in a little personal note here, but my grandfather, went through the Depression. And yet he was always incredibly successful. Whatever he did, president of the hospital board, had the first Model T agency, had this farm in the country. No matter what he did, he always had this attitude of, I will succeed. And yet I know other people who came through the Depression that were afraid to spend any money. And so that's another little caveat, I guess, of how we interpret obstacles. One of us might look at an obstacle and say, you'll overcome this, keep moving. And another one would be, oh my goodness, look what's happening. We need to retreat.
Well, when you discover the stories, one of the things that, and that's a really good point that you just brought up, one of the things that we begin to realize, so I didn't know about this trauma that they had gone through, but I'm discovering their trauma while I'm going through my own trauma. And it was learning that they had this resilience, which goes to talk about your grandfather, that there was this resilience of they went through this incredible difficult time, and now here I am in going through my own challenges of how do I help this person who I deeply love and who had a beautiful soul who's struggling with something that is taking him from our lives. And so I started leaning on those stories and on the story of them, of their resilience, and how my and the ancestors that had come over, and all of that began to make sense and filled me with this ability to say that those that have come before us have experienced this, and they are with us. And so I knew that they were around me. And I began to, when you're in that situation, I grew up Catholic, not a practicing Catholic, but I grew up Catholic. And during that time, it was wanting to pray. And, I'm trying to figure out how to manage this disease that my husband had. And so I started to go back to saying the rosary. And it was actually John Edward, who was an East Coast medium, that about how he used the rosary as a meditation before he would go read an audience. And so I heard him say that, and I thought, I'm gonna start to do the rosary and see if that can help me meditate. And to so I began using the rosary, but I began imagining all of my ancestors sitting around a table with me. And I was doing it in order to, I didn't understand this at the time, but I was doing it to call their energy into me because I just needed to make it through the day and make it through, have that. And then I had an experience that happened. And this is where some of the whispers start to come in as well. So I had, I'd been saying the rosary, and I went to sleep one night, and I had what is called a visitation, which is I had an ancestor that came to me. And this was a great aunt. And she, it's like a Zoom. So we're talking one, like you and I looking at each other right now. And she held my hands, and she made me look at her, and she said, "We hear your prayers." And I woke up. And it was in that moment that I began to truly understand that they all knew what was happening with me, what was going on. And so this began the understanding that our ancestors are with us. And as I continued to do the research on my own family, and as I continued to do the research for others, this gift opened up, this awakening began, where I understood that their energy was actually with us, and that I would feel it. I would feel it in a tingle, like a spirit chill, or I would feel my crown chakra kind of open up. And it was amazing experience to know that not only that they were with us, that they, you know, that this was real, and that there were ways that they were trying to reach me and to know that they were with me. And so that was kind of the beginning. I did have one more, another extraordinary experience where a few weeks later, I was saying, again, saying the rosary, and I had a great great grandmother, one that I did not know, but I knew her on the tree. I knew who she was on the tree, who came to me and began to channel through me the rosary in an Irish brogue.
Really?
So I started saying the rosary in an Irish brogue, and I couldn't say it if you asked me to. And she stayed with me every time I said it for months and months. Just it was this, they had come to share with me that that they understood that they had been through these traumas themselves, and that you were going to, that you were saying to me, you're going to make it. This
Right.
is.
Well, I'm Irish as well. And Irish families have a lot of alcoholism in them. And the women, go through, it's the men because those are the guys that, went to the pub. And sometimes there was physical violence when they came home, and almost always emotionally. And the women were left to care for the children. The men went off and did their thing, whether it was Northern or Southern Ireland. I'm Northern Ireland. Where are you?
I am, I'm an Irish mutt. I have both.
Oh, you have both. Okay. Yeah, I ended up, I went to Ireland, but I didn't get to go to Northern Ireland at the time I was there because there was still a little bit of unrest, and I just thought it'd be better. But I did meet a young man in an Irish pub in San Diego who knew my family from
Oh,
Ireland.
interesting. And
And
wait, do you know where in Northern Ireland?
County Tyrone.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So, it was, I do want to, it's, I guess one of the things on my bucket list is to
Yes.
at least get into that area and, feel the soil, so to speak, be there.
Yes.
Because I saw most of Ireland, but Northern Ireland is a very small, part of Ireland. It's obviously north, but County Tyrone is between Belfast and Donegal, and so it's like smack dab in the middle on the coast of Northern Ireland. So, have you been yourself? Have you gone?
Yes, I have not been to Northern Ireland, but I've been
Well,
to
we'll have to
Ireland.
go together.
Say that
I
again.
said we'll have to go together.
Yes, I love that idea. I love that idea. I do know that we are from a little town. My mother's family is from a little town called McGarrafelt, which is, I think, in County Derry. And there is a Woods Chapel where they were all married and buried, and that her family name is, or her grandfather's family name, she, is there. So it is, but it brings, again, brings together this, we all, you and I have shared a little bit. You were sharing some things about, caring for your brother, but we all go through challenges in our lives. And when we begin to understand that our path is not only, somebody else has walked this path with us, but that we're literally able to communicate with them. And we begin to understand that, that is where I knew that our consciousness went on, moved, you know, that we are able, that they were on the other side, and that they knew, you know, knew what I was going through. And I had lost a friend at a very young, she was 32 years old with two young children, and she passed away and just went to sleep one night and didn't wake up. We were very good. We were preschool moms together, and she was the first person that shocked me when, you know, when I lost her. And she came to me when I was in this grief that I didn't know how to move out of. And she came to me, and I felt her come through me and say to me, "You're okay, I'm okay, we're okay." Like it, this, and you know, putting these, it was like these two things all coming together, that the whispers that we, when we are able to open to it, we begin to hear them. And we know they're there. And I think the special thing about what I've been able to do with people is when I help them to look back, and when they begin to know a little bit more about their story, about individuals, that certain ancestors rise and come through as our guide. You know, you talked earlier about your guides or your angels. They're the first level of guides. You know, loved ones and ancestors who cross over are the first level, because
The
what'd you say?
infantry.
Yeah, that is a really, really great way of connecting that, because their energy, our communication with spirit is energetic, and they are our closest energetic beings that are with us. You know, they know us, we know them. They're part of our bodies, you know, DNA. And so that is really what began to open up an understanding of spirit for me. And for people that want to believe and want this, have this desire to know more, it became a very safe way for me to help introduce people to how to connect to spirit. And yeah.
I want to take about maybe 6, 7 minutes for you to give us a little bit of a highlight of what you went through in Chicago at the conference.
Yeah. And this is actually a perfect segue into, I was at the conference as a speaker, as a on a panel, and the panel was about ancestral healing. So it is, it's fascinating, because IANS is the International Association of Near Death Studies, and this year was their 50th anniversary. And so present there was Dr. Raymond Moody and Dr. Bruce Grayson, and they are the pioneers who began to realize that they were understanding that people, both doctors, medical doctors, they were understanding that people were having experiences where their bodies had clinically died, had left their bodies, and then their bodies had come back, and they came back. And so they began to do the research in near-death studies and consciousness. Does our consciousness live on? So it was to hear these two gentlemen talk, and to hear them talk about the beginnings, and what, you know, this is 1975. Raymond Moody's book is its 50th anniversary, Life After Life. And but to hear them talk, I mean, we think about when Bill Gates talks about, you know, when he was in the garage and creating the computer, you know, working on that. These two were talking like they were sitting in the garage talking about near death, and we should start researching this. And really how it began. And they began, Raymond Moody began by finding people who, and he said he put them in three categories: people who said they had a near-death experience, people who said they almost, they felt like they almost did, and people who knew people who who had that. So he kind of moved the last two groups out of the way, although their information was important, and he focused on those that actually had crossed. And so it was this amazing just group of people who were sharing all of this knowledge and understanding. Bruce Grayson, who continues to have his studies continue at the University of Virginia, he said that we are so close. They really have proven that our consciousness lives on and beyond a shadow of a doubt, but they're in the process of getting all of the information to present it so that it is can be looked at. And but and what the near death what IONS has done is opened the studies so that we look at other things, other consciousness, not only in the avenue of near death, which is why I spoke as talking about ancestral healing, and that our ancestors are with us, and that our ancestors can be involved with our healing. As many people that have had NDEs, their ancestors were there when they crossed over. And
so I have a question. Let's just say, let's use the alcoholism because that's something we've already touched on. So alcoholism is genetically transferred from one generation to the next. We know that. If you heal that cellular level of alcoholism through something like what you're doing, the ancestral whispering, and healing it so that it can stop. Does it then indeed sort of go back and heal all those other levels of people who have already died so that everybody is healthier?
It is. That's a really fascinating. And I, you know, I do have a guide that is with me, and they help me. They helped me to understand all of this information as I was beginning. As I was beginning to learn it, alcoholism is definitely passed down, but also what is passed. And we talked about trauma a little bit, and trauma is passed down through genetically as well.
Right,
and it is how our genes react to the trauma that we experience.
Right.
So, if you know, I share this in a very simple way, that if our ancestors have experienced, you know, we'll use war because that's something that is people really understand how chaotic that would be. If they're experiencing that, their anxiety gene may get turned up. They talk about the genes get turned up or turned down.
Sure. So depression, anxiety, all of those things that are passed forward.
Exactly. Exactly. So when you talk about curing how the ancestors, learning from the ancestors and understanding that some of our reactions, some of our anxiety, some of our depression, some of those things that we're experiencing this life have come down from what our ancestors have experienced.
Right.
And as you begin to understand that, it sends a healing. You begin to heal just by the knowledge that some of the intensity that you feel is not yours to carry.
Exactly.
That this is something that comes through. And when you look back at your ancestors, and this is where, when I was talking about the scarcity and things like that, and the trauma that they went through, it began to make more sense about why I had all of these emotional reactions as well, because we inherit those. As far as spirit says to me, when we look back at the line of those who have experienced trauma, and can we heal them? Because a lot of people ask this question. And what spirit says is the moment that we cross, we are healed. We are in the process, you know. So as our ancestors crossed into, you know, into the other realm, you know, that their healing began immediately. And so It is more in the understanding that this healing can happen and that we are getting echoes of what they went through. We're not reliving their trauma, but that it's the echoes that keep coming through. And when we begin to understand what those echoes were, what was the trauma? And also, when we have trauma, and that the patterns of behavior that develop, that's a response to it. And so all of those combined, so not only the genetic, what happens and how things change in our in how we react to anxiety or to trauma, but also just the patterns of behavior that how what our ancestors did to deal with it. And in my family, it was silence. It was, we don't talk about it.
What's really fascinating, and we'll have to end the show with this thought, is that if you are if you're open to this kind of understanding, that when you heal, all future generations will be healed as well. So the past, they're sharing with you and they're supporting you, but they're helping people understand in today's world that are living right this minute, that can be healed forward so that the future is a much brighter, happier place, and people aren't having to go through these ongoing traumas that have been passed down from generation to generation.
Exactly. And you begin to heal.
And you heal too.
I mean that.
Please, I mean, we obviously are going to be talking in the future, but please, share with everyone how they can get hold of you if they would like to talk more about how to begin to heal their ancestral patterns. How can they reach you?
So the name of my company is Tell Me Our Story, Ancestral Healing, and the URL though is tellmeourstory.com. And it comes from the point of view of the child asking the parent to tell me our story, so that that's where it comes from. So it, that's how, and when somebody comes to me, I help people by just listening and understanding a little bit about their story. And then we can talk about ways that either looking deeper into their ancestry, as I can recognize the traumas and things, or in other ways that we can connect.
Beginning the healing process. Thank you for being on the show, and thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. I'm so
You're
glad to
welcome.
be here.
All right, everyone, please go out there and share this particular show with everyone that you love. Maybe those that are not even family members, but you know that in their family, there is healing that needs to be done because of what you can see going on in their current life. And we'll be back next week on Tuesday. Please join us then and go out there and make this your best life. Thanks, everyone.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.